It's the 9:29 and 20 seconds. Officially, we're early, and it's a miracle. Another miracle for the Jewish people. Actually, Shir started on time, or actually early. I figured I would start now because this way we get its maximum time of Rosh Hashiva and pack it all in. First of all, thank you all for being here. The Beit Shemesh Community Beit Midrash Initiative, in conjunction with YU Israel Yeshiva University REITs, is proud to invite the community to mark the 30th anniversary of Yosef Dovah Levi Soloveitchik. I want to thank, in particular, the Beit Shemesh Community Beit Midrash Initiative and all the shuls that have been a part of this wonderful and amazing program for over 8 years now. It's amazing, it's 8 years. Over 6,000 hours of learning Torah together. I also want to thank Mizrahi World Movement and Rav Doron Peretz, who graciously provided the Rosh Hashiva to come to speak about his Rebbe, the Rav. I mentioned to Rav Schechter, Shlita, that it was impossible and conceivable to have a program about the Rav and not have the Rosh Hashiva. And Chassidei Hashem, Stephanie Strauss, who's been one of our key partners in this program throughout the entire time, said, wait, I know the Rosh Hashiva is coming in for the Mizrahi program. Let me work it out. So everyone's in a team. We all a partnership. Mizrahi is co-sponsoring, as is the OU Israel, as is RCA Israel, and or Torah Stone. And we thank Web Yeshiva as well. And I want to thank Zev and Judy Berman in sponsoring in memory of their uncle Ted. And of course, I want to thank Rabbi and Mrs. Eli Rosenzweig for sponsoring in memory Nishmas, his father, Harav, Rabbi Yechiel Rosenzweig, who also was a Talmud. I'm going to let Rabbi Rosenzweig say a few words of introduction, but I just please look inside your Mizrahi magazine. They are our partners. They put a beautiful ad in of the Shurim. The next one coming up after today is next Thursday, May 4th. We have Aaron Adler and Rav David Miller, two of the Rav's Talmidim, who are here in Eretz Yisrael, so they're a little more local, but we're so honored. Right on the slide, please. And if anybody wants a extra magazine about the Rav from Mizrahi, a lot of great articles in there. I have a few extras.
Birshus this Kehila Kedosha. Just a few words of Hakdoma, if I may. A very special Hakoras HaTov to Rav Baruch Tha, a very good friend, who really has done something enormous and special in our Kehila, bringing us together for these moments of Torah experience that are quite extraordinary and memorable, imperishable moments, a very special Yashar Koach, Rav Baruch. Chani and I co-sponsor this morning's program in the Rosh Yeshiva's visit, Le'ilu Nishmas Avi Mori, Rabbi Yechiel ben Eliezer Lipa Halevi, Rabbi Yechiel Rosenzweig, my father, who was a Talmud Muvak of Rabbi Avram Yaffe, Zatzal, a great Rosh Yeshiva in Europe, based in Yeshivas Beis Yosef Bialystok, when he came to this country after the war, a survivor, one of the Nitzolei HaShoah, my father. He came to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan and became a Talmud Muvhok of the Rav. He was the Choser of the Rav. He gave a smicha shir. He was also the Shoal Meshiv in the Yeshiva in the late 40s before migrating to Detroit, where I was born and bred. My father taught me many things. It was quite extraordinary. I guess that's the extraordinary thing about my life, that I was raised in the house of a great Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chacham Otzum, and that is an experience. So I didn't get a chance to play a lot of baseball. He saw that as Bittelsman. He called it Hashchasasman. And he insisted that I learn, and even when I didn't appreciate that wisdom, I beheld him in the highest esteem, as I did always, at least as I endeavored to always. And my father taught me a wisdom and introduced me to a perush when I was a little boy that has stayed with me all my life and that I think is fitted to the moment for the purposes of this Hakdama. He taught me about the broader meaning of Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice. We all know about the concept of Mesiras Nefesh, sacrificing oneself in a brilliant, luminescent moment that is both extraordinary and tragic, how we devote ourselves, life and limb, al kiddush Hashem. But my father explained to me that there is another sense of Mesiras Nefesh that is no less significant, that inheres, that manifests in the mundanity of daily life existence. He shared with me a perush in the beginning of Bereshis, Perek Hey, Posuk Aleph, the Das Geinim Mibali Tosfos. Are we familiar with that perush? It's quite fascinating. It's an anthology of the perushim on the Torah from the Bali Tosfos, from Italy, Germany, France, and other parts and places, 12th through the 14th centuries. And the Das Geinim Bali Tosfos introduces this idea that there is a concept of ahava that is even bigger, better, greater than the ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which we find in the parshios of the Kriya for Shabbos, in Kedoshim. We all know Rabbi Akiva, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Ben Azai says in the perush of the Das Geinim, and the Pasuk says, Sefer Toldos Odom B'yom Bro Elokim Odom B'dmus Elokim Asoso, that in this concept of Dmus Elokim, the likeness of God, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Odom, we find a standard of Ahava that is even bigger than Kamocha. Because Kamocha is Maida Aloch Sani L'chavrecho L'savid. What is hateful to you, don't do to another. It is self-referential. It is limited by the term kamocha. But demus Elokim, roe Adam, demus chavero, ve'eno roe demus atzmo. That is other directed. The ahava that emerges out of demus Elokim is an ahava that is all embracing. It's an ahava gedola yoser, without limitation, an ahava even greater than kamocha, if you can fathom it. That is the word of the Das Geinim. I was a Talmud of the Rav in the late 70s and early 80s. And of course, we all beheld, I was a young kid at the time, I think the youngest in the shir, along with my chaver, Rav Daniel Lander, who is today a Talmud Chacham Otzum of his own, the Rosh Yeshiva. I remember hearing the Rav's Torah and being mesmerized by it, as we all were, thousands of Talmidim across the span of time, generations. You could apprehend his genius, each of us on our own level. We internalized it, and it stayed with us and abides us yet still. But the thing about the Rav that I was transfixed by was the Mahalach, not the Derech HaLimud, of course it was that too, but it was the way in which the Rav came to Shir every morning, Tuesday through Thursday on the week. As the Rav would come from his room in the dormitory at Morgenstern, at the morgue as we called it, and would cross over to First Hall to come to the fourth floor to give Shir for 150 Talmidim. Many of them in the class, Rashi Yeshiva in their own right. The Rav shuffled. He was stricken with all kinds of ailments, Parkinson's among many others. And the Rav had a retinue of Mishorsim who helped him get to Shir. And I sat toward the front of the Shir. Another of my chavrusas, I sat alongside him, Rav Pinchas Weinberger, also a great Talmid Chacham. And I would see as the Rav would finally sit down, it took quite a while for the Rav to get to Shir, from just across the way, a block away. And when the Rav sat down, he was exhausted. And you could see in real pain. Certainly in the twilight of his teaching career, that's what I apprehended. And yet somehow, a restorative grace that he summoned from on high, I don't know, I can't relate to it. The Rav found the strength within to emerge from all the illness and ailment. And there was a sort of metamorphosis, I don't know what else to call it. He transformed himself, the Rav Zatzal, into a towering giant of Torah on fire. I can't describe it any other way. And there was Mesiras Nefesh in that. When you have an Ahava Gedola Yoser, a love that transcends self, when you are able to Mevatel self, again for me it's unrelatable, but for a Gedol, it is on course. And the Rav sacrificed himself so that he could teach Torah and inspire thousands, and through them, tens of thousands of others. A Torah that endures beyond the moment, that will endure beyond us all. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shechter, La'aniyut Dati, like none other in our generation, has embraced to full measure this marking of greatness of the Rav Zatzal. All of us know better than I. All of us here know what a Gadol our Rosh Yeshiva is, and how he has led us through time after time, tzora after tzora, from simcha to simcha. His storied career is the stuff of legend, and it needs no elaboration. But the thing about the Rosh Yeshiva, about which I am transfixed and most admiring, is the Mesiras Nefesh that he manifests, the Rosh Yeshiva, much like his Rebbe, in the realm of the mundanity of daily life existence. I recall an incident I had as a Rav in the States. in New Rochelle. It tore me apart and our community. A complicated narrative of Inyone Yochsin and religious identity. It impacted a number of families, all of them from families. And it was searing. I just did not know how we would survive the moment. I reached out to the Rosh Yeshiva. Much to my regret, our points of contact have been few and far between, but I had the schus of that moment, and I reached out to the Rosh Yeshiva, explained the narrative. There was an aseifa of Rabbonim in the Rosh Yeshiva's office at YU, not far removed, just a few steps from the Beis Medrash, where the Rosh Yeshiva held court as the Rosh Kollel for years on end. And while all the others in the room talked about the halachic dimensions of the issue, and they were real and serious, without compromising for an instant on the halachic imperatives, the Rosh Yeshiva understood the broader picture like no one else in the room. The tears that the families involved in this issue shed, he shed with them. And he showed a measure of ahava beyond self and mesirus nefesh. To say it was extraordinary only touches the surface. When I talk about this story even today, it moves me to tears. The Rosh Yeshiva solved the problem and insisted on handling it on his own terms, having to run from hither to yon. I offered to arrange a car service and support to make it a little bit easier on the Rosh Yeshiva. He refused. He said to me, "Don't take away my mitzvah." This is the sort of thing that for me is unrelatable. It is why we have amongst us a Godol b'Yisrael. Bizman shetzadik ba'ir hu hoda hu ziva hu hadora. When a tzaddik is in the city, he is its glory, he is its splendor, he is its beauty. Morai v'rabosai, hine tzaddik ba'ir. We ask the Rosh Yeshiva to address us, B'Kavod Godol, on the Rav's Torah and perspectives, Legabi Inyone Eretz Yisrael.
Thank you very much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Kun nisalach b'horis la'or kol erochko ki l'cho etnenu." So the Gemara in Perek Yesh Noichlin points out that there are two ways to translate the word ki l'cho etnenu. Was this a promise that was going to be fulfilled in a distant future when Yeshua ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael? Or did it mean immediately now, walk around the borders, and that will constitute a kinyan chazaka? Kinyan Chazaka means the one who owns the karka. The Rabbi Shalom is the balabas, he owns the whole world. So he tells Avraham Avinu, walk around the borders and that will constitute a Kinyan Chazaka. So the Gemara says, Eretzom Uchzaka Seine Avaseine Mimais Avraham Avinu. That was the Kinyan Chazaka. The Gemara even has a Machloikes HaTanoim, not in Perek Yesh Nuch, a little earlier. Does that Kinyan Chazaka apply? Does man hazeh? I have a field, I want to sell it to you. tell you walk around the borders. The Mishnah says in Baba Basra, Chazoka is no agor rapor, skinny Chazoka. Walking around the borders is not a Chazoka. So that's a machlokes HaTanna. So there is a Tana Rablazer, a Blazer holds that it's even a Kenyan Mishman Hazeh, wasn't a Hira Shah. We assumed that was only a Hira Shah or a Chazoka at that time. So Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people in the days of Abraham Avinu. But it didn't have Kedusha yet. The Kedusha Eretz didn't set in until 14 years after they crossed over the Yarden. It took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That says in Sefer Yeshua, Sheva Shekopshu. And then the Gemara has an oral historical tradition that it took Sheva Shechilku. It took another 7 years till they divided Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, then among the Mishpachas, then among the Yechidim. And after the 14 years were up, the first year that they observed Shemitah, the first year that they observed Trumas HaMaisers was year 15. And the first Shemitah that they observed was year 21. The first 14 years, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz. And the first Yovel was year 64. Thank you. The first Yovel was year 64 because the first 14 years, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz. So that's called Kedusha Rishayna. When they conquered Eretz Yisrael, that was Kedusha Rishayna. The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time was the Kibush. So why do you need the second unit of 7 years? The Chalukah is the Gemara of the Kibush. When you completed the Kibush, it took 7 years to conquer the Olam of Aleph Melochem in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the link between all the three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Whoever controls Eretz Yisrael can control all the three continents. It's a strong place. It took 7 years to conquer the Olam of Aleph Melochem. And then the Gemara of the Kibush was when they made the Chalukah, and that was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. What happened at the time of Churban Bais Rishon? So then the Kedusha was Botla. The Rambam has a famous comment in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. The Rambam writes, since the Kedusha rested on the Kibush, and when the Kibush was undone, so the Kedusha was undone. So the Kedusha Rishonah that was created through the conquering of Eretz Yisrael was Botla at the time of Churban Bais Rishon. Then, when Ezra, after the 7 years of Golus Bavel Barak, so Ezra brought a small percentage of Jews back there to Israel. He was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. There was no kibush, there was no Jewish independent government at that time. They were under the shlita of the Persian kings, the Malchi Paros HaMadai. So what was Mekadosh the second time around? So the Rambam writes, the Mekadosh was Chazokim. Something other than Kibush. So the Rambam says, because it wasn't Kiddush, because the Mekadesh the second time around was not Kibush, so that's why the Kedusha Rishayna was like Bavel. So today there's a Kedusha Deraisa. Even though during the 7 years of Golus Bavel, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz, because the Churban Ha'aretz, the Churban Hamdina by the Babylonian armies who conquered Eretz Yisrael, canceled the Kedusha. But at the Churban of Eretz Yisrael, the time of the Roman armies, when they destroyed the whole government, they destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, that was not Mevatel the Kedusha, because the Kedusha the second time around didn't rest on Kibush. There was no Kibush, there was no Jewish Kibush till the days of the Hashmonaim. That was the end of the Bais Sheni. So many years there was a Kedusha in the Bais Sheni without any Kibush. So the fact that the Romans were Kibush Eretz Yisrael back from the Jewish people didn't cancel Kedusha. How do you translate the word Chazok? So I remember right after the Sinai campaign, most of you weren't even born by the Sinai campaign. So Rabbi Gorin at that time was a chief chaplain in the army. He wasn't yet the chief rabbi. So he was. He visited America and he went around speaking in all the different shuls. Very fascinating, very fascinating. So he came to Rabbi Soloveitchik Shia. That was the first year I was in Rabbi Soloveitchik Shia. So he came to Rabbi Soloveitchik Shiva, was learning Sanhedrin. So Rabbi Soloveitchik gave him permission to give a shiur for the students. In his shiur, he was assuming that, like Rabbi Zalman Meltzer assumes in his Sefer on the Rambam, the Eben HaZok, but he didn't mention the Eben HaZok, he just assumed like that when the Rambam says Chazok, it means Kinyan Chazok. Just like Avraham Avinu walking on the borders that constituted Kinyan Chazok. So when the Jews moved back there to Israel after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, we lost ownership. This was his assumption. This is Zalman Meltzer assumes. For 7 years, we lost ownership of Eretz Yisrael. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people permission, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave permission to Avraham Avinu to become the Eretz Yisrael with Chazokah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people permission to become the Eretz Yisrael with Chazokah. And then when we became the Chazokah, that was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. Well, Avraham Avinu owned Eretz Yisrael, didn't have Kedusha till the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. Kedusha Rishayna is not in the days of Avraham Avinu. Tosis in Yevamos and Daf Peyal quotes Avinu Hananel and they reject it. Ben Hananel says Kedusha, when the Gemara has the expression Kedusha Rishayna, that means in the days of Avraham Avinu. Tosis says, what, when, where? What are you talking? Kedusha Rishayna is the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. Shev Shekasha, Shev Shechelka, it's not in the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't have Kedusha yet. Till. So why should, if the Rambam said Chazoke was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time, you're going to say Chazoke means ownership. So why does ownership mean that it gets Kedusha? So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like it. So he was sitting, Rav Soloveitchik was sitting in the back of the ship. So he disagreed with Rabbi Goren. Rabbi Goren kept on insisting that this is the pshat. And the rest of the ship was based on that assumption. So Rav Soloveitchik disagreed a few times. He said he's not getting anywhere because the whole shiur was based on that premise. Shaitz, he let Rabbi Goren finish. The next day, the Rav came back to shiur. That was on a Tuesday. At my time, the shiur was only Tuesday and Wednesday. So on Wednesday, the Rav came into the shiur and he said, "Kamokim sheishchil Hashem and chelkim kabel l'rav." When a tamachav makes a mistake, you're not mechabed him to let him keep on going. You have to say that it's wrong. Chil Hashem doesn't mean chil Hashem. Chil Hashem is a mistake in Allah. Said Rabbi Goren said yesterday is not correct. The Jewish people never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And he used to say this all the time when he spoke for the Mizrahi. I don't know, the Mizrahi just published a volume of 10 drushes that the Rav gave you, but they're missing all the drushes that I remember. All the strong drushes, they're missing them. I don't know. So the Rav, I heard more than once from the Rav. We don't owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to them in the first place. They stole it. It belonged to the Jewish people all the time. So in the days that Avraham Avinu was kind of like walking around the borders, that was Ayra Shah, the Kinyah Chazokah, we never lost our ownership. Despite the fact that there is an international rule, it's a whole suk in Gittin, there is an international rule on Kibush Mulchama, Aman Marabti Haru B'Sichayim. When one nation wages war against another, the country who wins the war acquires ownership of the Karka, the Metaltalim, the people, you own everything. Eretz Yisrael is the one exception to the rule. It's not subject to the international din, Kibush Mulchama. So even when the Babylonian armies took away Eretz Yisrael from the Jewish people, we still owned Eretz Yisrael. And after the Churban Bayis Sheni, when the Roman armies took away Eretz Yisrael from the Jewish people, it always belonged to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership. We don't owe a debt. That's what he always says. We do not owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to them in the first time. And he used to say, more than once, he used to say this all the time. The first Rashi in Chumash quotes, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, why does the Torah begin from Bereshit? Let us start from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Start from the Halachos. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Shkach Maisa Higile Amar Losses Laim Nachas Goyim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say, I'm the Balabas, I own the world, I have a right to give Eretz Yisrael to whomever I want. And he gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, and he gave it to the Jewish people in such a way that is not subject to the Kibush Mulchama. The one and only exception to the rule, the din, the international din, of Kibush Mulchama does not apply, is Eretz Yisrael. He always used to say, the Rashi there quotes the Loshen from Menush, the Umas Olam came claim listen matem. You're stealing Eretz Yisrael. He says, I think I read that yesterday in New York Times. He always used to say, for years he said, just yesterday's New York Times, they wrote, the Arabs were always complaining that the Jews came from Europe. What did they have a shachas with Palestine? That had nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael over here. And they stole the karka from them. So what's the answer? That Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jews. It was not subject to Kibush Mulchama. Even though the Turks had it, the British had it, and so many different years, different nations had it, it always belonged to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership. So that's one union of Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean, Chazokah? So when the Rambam says that the Mekadosh the second time around was Chazokah, Rav Soloveitchik didn't accept Rabbi Sazam and said, Chazanish says the same as Rav Soloveitchik. Chazanish in the Sefer Shviz. So he writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and then he swore, he promised Avraham Avinu, it'll always go to his descendants. He promised Yitzchak, he promised Yaakov. He said, Chatei Spisi Yaakov, Afer Spisi Yitzchak, Spisi Avraham Esker. He made a bris with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one of them, that Eretz Yisrael will always go to their descent. Of course it belongs to their descent. What do you need a bris for? Moshe Ma'adam, this is my Moshe, not the Rav's. Moshe Ma'adam, let's say I come to the wedding, I forgot to bring the wedding gift. So at the end of the wedding, I wish Mazel Tov, I say, I forgot to bring the gift. the gift. I'm going to be at the Shabbat Brachas on Wednesday night. I'll bring the gift. I come Wednesday night. I forgot. So I apologize. I said, I'll see you by the bris. I bring the gift by the bris. Come to bris. I still didn't say, I forgot to bring the wedding gift. I'll give you by the pinyon. Every time I keep on promising. But if I already brought the gift by the wedding, so what do you have to keep on promising? He gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. If according to the Gemara, Chumisal Baraslav, the Racham means right away, Avraham Avinu already acquired ownership. So what did he keep on promising Avraham Avinu? So that's what the Rav said, that's the Chazon Ish, it's the same thing. The promise was that Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people, and we will never lose our ownership. It's an exception to the rule of Kibush Mochama. If another nation wages war against the Jews and takes by Eretz Yisrael is not subject to that din, always belongs to the Jewish people. That's one Indian. So what does it mean in the Rambam that the Mekadesh is second time Rambam is Chazak? So the Rav had different suggestions. The one suggestion he gave was a very interesting one. He gave a whole Yartzeit Rosha on this topic. So he said, Rav Chaim Valojana points out the Nefesh HaChaim. The Gemara Megillah has two types of religious articles. We have Talesim, Tefillin, Shofar, different religious articles that we use to fulfill mitzvahs. So Gemara says there's one that's called Tashmishi Mitzvah and that's called Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Tashmishi Mitzvah have Kedusha Bizman Mitzvah. Let's say you have an Esrig on Sukkot, a bench Esrig, and so the Esrig is hooked to the Mitzvah. So before you use it for the Mitzvah, it only has Malalam Milsehi, and it's not yet hooked to the Mitzvah. But after you shake the Lulav, after you did the Mitzvah, the Esrig becomes hooked to the Mitzvah. So the Pasuk, the original Pasuk, says by the Sukkot. So from Sukkot we extend it to Lulav and Esrig. That's hooked to the Mitzvah. So hooked to the Mitzvah, that's Tashmishe Mitzvah Bizman Mitzvah. After Sukkot is over, no longer hooked to the Mitzvah. You can eat the Esrig. There used to be a practice that the women would bite off the pitim, the pregnant women bite off the pitim and say, Hey, Ratzon, Rabbi Kivegar on Shulchan Aruch tells you to look in a certain sefer that has the Hei Ratzon that the women used to recite. They would bite off the pit. Yeah. The Ramban quotes in Ramban HaChulin, the beginning of HaChulin, quotes a Medrash that Eitz Hadas was only also on Erev Shabbos. If they would have waited till El Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat the Eitz Hadas. So Odom Arish and Achav didn't have self-control to wait till El Shabbos, that it should be mutter. And because of eating, because of the fact they had no self-control, they couldn't even wait till Friday night. So that's why the women were punished. That's to tell the bottom that they have pain when they're pregnant, when they give birth to the baby. So the women would wait till after Sukkot is over. They say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I waited till after the Hukkah and Sukkot was over, so I don't deserve to be punished. If I would have been there, I would have had self-control. I would have waited till the Shabbos. All right. I waited to bite off the pit until after the Sukkah. So that's why you shouldn't punish me. I shouldn't have any pain. So it tells you to look in a certain sefer where they have this, where they have the Yehirotz. So that's Tashmisha Mitzvah. Then you have Tashmisha Kedusha. You have Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah. Even if it becomes so puzzled, you can't even correct it. You can't even fix it. It still retains the Kedusha and Tashmisha Kedusha on the Gnosim. Tashmisha Mitzvah, after the Zman Mitzvah is up, on the Zrokim, you can throw it out in the garbage. Just say, you shouldn't throw it together with the dirty diapers, with the fish bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. But Tashmisha Kedusha on the Gnosim, you have to put it in Shemus. Now, how did the Chacham decide what religious articles belong to the category of Tashmisha Mitzvah, Tashmisha Kedusha? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, Chaim Volozhin, and Nefesh HaChaim says, Tashmisha Kedusha depends if it has Psukim. To the extent that it has Psukim, to that extent it has Kedusha. So the mezuzah only has two parts, Shema Lo'ayam Shemaya, so it has a lower level of Kedusha. The Tefillin have Shema Lo'ayam Shemaya plus Kadesh Vayokim Yachon, so it has slightly more Kedusha. The mezuzah, the Shorosh has a shin on the outside, two shins. We have two shins, Mark talks about one shin. You have a shin, is one extra letter, so the Shorosh has a slightly higher level of Kedusha than a Shoyad. The Gemara says, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Marin, you're permitted to convert a Shoyad into a Shorosh, but the reverse, you're not allowed to. Once you wore the Shorosh as a Shorosh, if you only made the Shorosh, you didn't wear it yet. It's only hooked to the Mitzvah, that it should have the status of a Shorosh. Once you wore it and it became a Shorosh, then there will be a violation of Maridin if you convert the Shorosh into a Shoyad. The Sefer Torah has the Dalet Parshas plus more, has the Dalet Parshas plus more, so it has more higher level of Kedusha. That's the Gemara. So that's Rav Chaim Volozhin's assumption. So Rav Soloveitchik in the Yahrzeit Rosh was discussing all the different types of Kedusha. So he said there's such a thing as Kedusha Yisrael. Where are the Psukim? Where are the Psukim? There's a Nicha people who learn Torah, so they learn Torah. They're, unfortunately, there are Jews who never learned the word of Torah. So where does the Kedusha Yisrael come from? So Rav Soloveitchik said that every Darshan has his famous Mamor Chazal, his favorite Agaritas, and he has his own favorite Agaritas, not necessarily the same as us. He was brought up in a Lubavitcher village. So the first page in Netanya, they talk about Mashbi Moser, the Yitzari, Valti, Rasha. So the Gemara says that the Malach teaches every Jewish baby, the boys and the girls, call it Tarakula when he's in the mother's womb. And then he slaps him and makes him forget everything. So he asks, if he plans to make him forget it, so why does he waste time to teach him in the first place? And why is the Malach so mean that he makes him forget everything? He used to say, the Rishum HaNikar, something is going to remain. If when the Malach slaps the baby, so Tralpanov, when the Malach slaps, he's going to forget everything. So he wouldn't have taught him in the first place. It must be that something does remain. So the Bala Tani explains that that's the source of the Avraham Suteris. So every Jewish person has a hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if he does it, even if he's demonstrating or protesting, and he doesn't believe in Torah, doesn't believe in anything, deep down in his heart, he really does believe. Every Jew has Avraham Suteris, and that comes from the fact that the Malach teaches every baby Torah Tarifu. Why is the Malach so mean that he makes him forget if he taught him already? So he said, easy come, easy go. If you didn't work hard to learn the Torah, then you're going to forget it anyway. So it's not such a great tragedy that the Malach makes him forget. Adrabah, he'll have Amola, you give Amola Shal Torah, and when he works on his own, not just the Malach pours it into his head, then he'll maintain it better, he'll understand it better. So the Rav said that that's one of his favorite agaritas about the Malach teaching the baby called Torah Kula. So you thought that point of whatever it means, not necessarily mean to be taken literally, but the lesson that the Gemara is trying to drive at is that every Jewish person has Kedushas Yisrael because we all have Kola Torah Kula written on our hearts. We don't remember it, we forgot it, but something does remain there. So that's the Shorish, that's the source of the Kedushas Yisrael. Then he spoke about the Kedushas HaMikdosh. Why do they have Psukim written on the walls of the Beis HaMikdosh? They don't have any Psukim written on the walls. Why is it Kedushas HaMikdosh? So he said, he showed from the Rambam that the essence of the Beis HaMikdosh is that you have the Luchas, the Orem with the Luchas in the Beis HaMikdosh, and even the Bayis Sheni, that at the end of the Bayis Rishon period, Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Luchas, that's the story in Divrei HaYamim, and the Mishnah Yuma says that in the whole Bayis Sheni period, the Luchas were not there, the Kohen Gadol, but do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, he would be Mazah, facing the direction where the Orem with the Luchas used to be, but the whole Bayis Sheni, they weren't there. So where was the Orem with the Luchas during the Bayis Sheni? So the Gemara in the end of Yuma has a machlokes historical machlokes hatanaim, whether the Orem with the Luchas were in the basement or the Rambabal or in a different place. So the Rambam and Mishnah Torah takes a stand on this. On a historical machlokes, what is he taking a stand on historical machlokes? The Rambam writes that the Orem with the Luchas were in the basement. Why did he take... In the Moran Nebuchim, take a stand, whatever you want. But why the Mishnah Torah, why does he take a stand? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's not merely, it is a historical machlokes. A machlokes, in fact, where were the luchas? But there's a little bit of halacha involved. Is it conceivable to have a kedushas beis hamikdash without an orem with the luchas? So the Rambam has adopted the opinion that it's not possible. It's called the luchas ha'edus, and the beis hamikdash is the mishkan ha'edus. If you don't have the Luchas Ha'edus, it does not mean a Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, when he quotes all the dinim of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, sounds like he says very strong. He doesn't say explicitly, but that's what it sounds like. If you have a room designated to daven in Manhattan, a lot of the businessmen have one room in the office that says it's made for Minyan, for Mincha, Ma'ariv, but they have no Sefer Torah there. So if it's a tiny sefer, they go to a shul to daven. They can't daven there. So for the Rambam is mashma that if you have a shul that doesn't have a Sefer Torah, doesn't have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Ramban disagrees. Ramban holds that the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is only as a tashmisha mitzvah. It enables you to daven better. It's not a tashmisha kedusha at all. But for the Rambam is mashma that he holds like the Ran. The Ran quotes the Ramban, Ran and Megillah. On the Rif, the Ran quotes the Ramban, and he disagrees. He thinks, no, Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is Beis HaMikdash Miyad, the miniature Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam is also mashma. Quite a few lines in the Rambam would appear that Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is because it's a Mikdash Miyad. And if you have a shul that doesn't have a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah doesn't have to be on the same floor. In the days of the Gemara, they used to have the Sefer Torah in a different room, not in the same room where they would daven. It used to be in the basement of the shuls. But it was in the same building, so they would have the Sefer Torah, just like in the Bais Sheni. The Orem of the Luchas was in the basement. So Rav Soloveitchik was going through the different inyanim of Kedusha. So he said a Jewish person has Kedusha because the Malach teaches Kol HaTorah Kul. Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha. Where are the Psukim written? He said the Psukim are on the Luchas, the Orem of the Luchas. Then he was talking about different things. And he said, what about Kedusha Eretz Yisrael? Well, you have Psukim written on the trees, the grass. Where do you have Psukim there? So he said, I remember he used to be a very good orator. So he said, the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the kibush the first time around. So he said, who did the kibush? He screams out, who did the kibush? And he said, the army of Yeshua ben Nun. So he said, what are you talking about? No, it says in Tanakh, the Oren Abris. Oren Abris was Naseh Lefneya. And Oren Abris knocked down all the enemies. They didn't have to, it seems that they didn't have to fight hard. Oren Abris knocked down the enemies. He says, the kibush of Eretz Yisrael was done the first time around with the Oren Abris. And since the Mekadosh was a kibush done by the Oren Abris, the whole Kedusha was based on Psukim. You had the Psukim written in Aseres HaDibros on the Oren Abris. But the Shaila was the second time around. And the Kedusha Shnei, the second time around. So what was the Mekadosh? There was no kibush with the Oren Abris. So how was it possible to have a Kedusha Shnei? So the Rambam writes, Chazoka. What do you mean Chazoka? So he said, he doesn't think that this is, he didn't speak about this is on, he doesn't think that Pshad is correct. Chazoka means Kinya Chazoka. He doesn't think that's correct. So he thought that maybe what it means is, the Chazal say that Kimla v'kiblu k'ima mashikiblu kvar. On the occasion of Nes Purim, the Bnei Yisrael were mekabel Torah a second time. So why was there a need for Kabbalah Sartera the second time? So there's a long medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noyach. The medrash Tanchuma says that Bnei Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma originally at Maimon HaSinai. They accepted the Torah. Happily, they accepted the Torah Shebichsav. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, but there's more. There's a whole Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Torah Shebaal Peh has the Mishnah Berurah with the Orach HaShulchan, with the Darkei Tshuva, with the Pischei Tshuva, with all the Achrayinim. So Bnei Yisrael said, that's too much. That's too difficult. Torah Shebaal seems to be pretty easy to observe. Torah Shebaal Peh makes things so difficult, so complicated. And the Medrash Tanchuma elaborates on that. Kosher Rishafei Rishvei Shal Hevesiyot. Difficult to understand Torah Shabbat Peh, difficult to observe Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's why Bnei Yisrael didn't want to accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was kafa leim harki gigas on the Torah Shabbat Peh aspect. Hadiki blu, Me'ach HaShverish goes on the acceptance of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And according to the tradition of the Gemara, the Nes, the history, the Goyeshe history books, every 75 years they change their minds. When did the Nes Purim occur? Did it occur during the Bais Sheni period or during the 7 years of Golus Baal? But the Gemara never changed the mind. Gemara, throughout all the Masechta, the Gemara talks about the Nes Purim. Gemara assumes that it occurred the end of the 7 years of Golus Baal, right before they built the Bais Sheni, before they completed building the Bais Sheni. So he said, maybe, he doesn't know how it fits into the word of Chazoket, maybe the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was not through the Oren Abris making the Kibush, Bikoach Torah Shebachsad, maybe it was Bikoach Torah Shebachsad. And maybe that's the reason why the Kedusha Rishayna was batla and Kedusha Shnei was lo batla. Because the Rav didn't fully spell out what he meant. Perhaps what he meant was, in the Yotzat Rosh, perhaps what he meant was that the Torah Shebichsav is a tangible item. So just like you can burn a Sefer Torah, so you can destroy the Kedusha Seretzel, which is created the first time around, through the Korach of Torah Shebichsav. But Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas. It's not a tangible object, not something you can touch, you can feel. So since it belongs to the world of ideas, Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't lend itself to Churban. So therefore, the Kedusha Shnei doesn't lend itself to Churban. The Rabbi used to speak a lot about Kedusha Rishayna, Kedusha Shnei. He used to talk a lot about that. When we bench Rosh Chodesh, there's a very old minhag that the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah And he says, Chaverim Kol Yisrael B'nayim Rameh. What is that all about? He says, Rav Soloveitchik was fantastic. The presentation before was Meiridik, but Rav Soloveitchik, you can't describe what he was. He was so different. He had unique comments, not always his own. Most of them he had traditions on. But he said it over very well. He polished up the tradition. He explained it very well. He said, on every page in Chumash, he had something new. Every page in the Siddur, every page in the Gemara, every page in the Shulchan Aruch, he had a tradition, something unusual. So he used to have biurim and minhagim. He had fantastic explanations. Minhagim. So he thought, Rav Sadia Gaon has a line in Amunas Vedeos. Somebody translated Amunas Vedeos into English. I think a professor from one of the universities. So he wrote, it's 263 ideas. Where did he get 263 ideas? It said Reish Sama Gimel. Rav Sadia Gaon. Amunas Vedeos, Reish Sama Gimel. So he wrote 263 ideas. Reish Sama Gimel is Rav Sadia Gaon. It doesn't be 263. So among the 263 ideas that Rav Sadia Gaon has in the book, he has a line Rav Soloveitchik quote pretty often. He would quote this pretty often in the drushes. Based on Gemaras, Maharal Prague has this, Rabbi Yosef Fengel has an essay, strong essays. Rav Soloveitchik used to say it over the kids, by the umas ha'olam, by the nations of the world, there are individuals. There's no tziruf. There's a mishpacha. Mishpacha, you have cousins, brothers, uncles, aunts, different people, individuals who relate to each other. They get along, they don't get along, whatever. They relate to each other. But Klal Yisrael, there's a concept of a umah Yisraelis. Nikam chesov v'yechud ba'aretz, the word goy. Rabbi used to say this all the time. I think he said the Radak in his biblical dictionary says the word goy comes from the word giviyah, body, giving a sati l'makim. By the Jewish people, there's a din, we're the only goy. In slang, we refer to the Nochrim as goy, but strictly speaking, they're not a goy. They're mishpachas, mishpachas v'adam. HaKadosh Baruch tells Avraham Avinu, Escha l'goy gadol, lech l'cha me'artzecha v'escha, I will make you into a goy, and the other nations of the world, are called v'irichu v'cha, called mishpachas v'adam. The others are mishpachas, there's not a goy. But Yitzchak Yisrael HaRed M'zeh B'zeh, it's considered as if all the Jews together are one Gviya, if it's one body. And if another person doesn't know how to blow shofar, I can be moitzi in yotza moitzi, even though I was already yotza to kia shofar. I can, about to get to go to the hospital and blow shofar for the other people. I is not b'chuy b'dover, how can I be moitzi achem b'dei chavos, m'sheinim b'chuy b'dover. And he moitzi, I was yotza already, so I'm not no longer b'chuy. The answer is no, cause man, that there's a Jew in New Zealand, who wasn't Yotzit Kir Shofar yet, I'm still Mechuyev. We're all considered one big Giviyah. One big Giviyah. So the Rav Sadia Gaon writes, what is Mitzarif the Jewish people together to make us into a goy? You have to have something to be a mitzarif them, that we should consider one body, as if it's one Giviyah. So he says, Einu Masenu Uma Ela B'Tayrosa. We think that's Mitzarif, the Jewish people together, is the fact that we have the Torah. The secular Jews consider as if Ben-Gurion thought that only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are Jewish. Those who live in Chutzal are not Jewish, because his whole concept of Judaism was it's a nation. So only those who live in the national homeland are Jewish. Those who live in Chutzlort are not Jewish. We are masking with him, partially. What he said is based on dinim, there are halachas, that's where Rav Soloveitchik elaborated upon. There is a concept, only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered a chelik of the tziruf of Klal Yisrael, it's only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. But those who live in Chutz Lachwi, those have a Kedushas Yisrael, that's Mechai the Mitzvahs. Ben Goyan didn't believe in Kedushas Yisrael, that's Mechai the Mitzvahs. So for him, the only concept of the Jewish people is our nationhood. So only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are part of the nation. That part is true. We have halachas, that the mitzaref of Eretz Yisrael is the fact, the mitzaref of the Jewish people to make us into a goy is the fact that we have the Torah and the fact that we are living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes in the Rav was very influenced in his childhood by the Avnei Nezer. In Europe, he used to use the Avnei Nezer a lot when he was young. And later on in the shiurim, when he gave an yeshiva, sometimes when he would remember that he saw it in Avinezer, he would mention Shem Rama. Sometimes he wouldn't remember, but a lot of times he said word for word things that appear in the Avinezer. And there was a professor, Schreiber, in New York. I think he's a descendant of Chassam Sofer's brother. He was a professor of law, I think, at Pace University, if I'm not mistaken. So he put out a fascinating book that the Rav and the Shiurim used to speak a lot about Tate Nisasi, Halacha and Tate Nisasi. This is all straight from the Avinezer. Quite a few truths in Avinezer, but he has about Tate Nisasi. So the the following idea, the Rav got from the Avinezer. We have several halachas that depend that are chayvus hatzibur, not chayvus hayochid. Whenever there's a chayvus hatzibur, the tzibur only refers to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So take, for example, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Bchoiris on Daf Chav Tes. The Mishnah happens to mention there, Rav Tarfon made a mistake in Pesach Halacha. Rav Tarfon made a mistake. He passed him that a certain behemoth was a trefa. So hechilu l'klovim, so they fed it to the dogs. So after they fed it to the dogs, then they pointed out to Rav Tarfon made a mistake, the behemoth was not a trefa. So he said, whoa, I'm going to have to pay. Because if the Talmud Chacham makes a mistake in Pesach Halacha, and because of his mistake, he was mafsid the Baal HaBas money, that's Medina de Garmi, even though he wasn't mafsid the Adayim. But if Rav Tarfon said it's treif, feed it to the dogs, then they fed it to the dogs. So he's responsible for the hefsed mamon. So Rav Tarfon says, Hol Chachamor Chatarfon, I'm going to have to give my chamor away to make good, to pay the Baal HaBas, whose behemah I was mafsid. So the Mishnah says, no, you have smicha. Since he has the tilus reshus, so he doesn't have to pay. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis over there in Bchoris Daf Chav Tes talks about smicha, what smicha is all about. I don't know why I put it in Bchoris and Daf Chav Tes. Should it be written in Sanhedrin? But you have a lot about smicha. I don't know, but that's what he has. So the Rambam writes interesting. Gemara has it in the end of the first parak in Sanhedrin. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. But Gemara doesn't have any pasuk. All the smicha that we have is manas. That's all imitation smicha. That's the one and only place that they quote the Avraham Benel. Yishulchan Aruch is in Yerodeya. The Ramah quotes Avraham Benel that all the people have smicha today is only imitation smicha. It's not real smicha. Because he can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. And that it was ended already over 1,000 years ago. The smicha ended a long time ago. So the Rambam gives you an explanation. Why does smicha have to be only conferred in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, because the tziruf of Klal Yisrael is only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Where did he get that from? Those who live in Chutz Lort are considered ki yichidim. They're not part of Klal Yisrael. They have kedushas Yisrael to Melchayim and Mitzvah. They're not part of Klal Yisrael. So he says, the Rambam writes, the mocker is the Gemara in the first parak in Harbis. There is a din, if a person, it says in the Chumash in Parshas Vayikra, if a person doesn't haver b'shogeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. What aver did he do, b'shogeg? He cheated in business. Probably cheated b'mezid. He spoke lashon hara. He did it b'mezid. He didn't do it b'shogeg. So what aver did he do, b'shogeg? So the Gemara said, only if he did an aver, d'vasher zden akaris, shiki gosel chatas. If he did an aver, that if he would have violated the aver b'mezid, he would have chayv karis. So d'vasher zden akaris is chayv chatas b'shogeg. What happens if the Bez Nagodol, the chief rabbin at Bez Nagodol, paskens that a certain chaylev is mutter, a certain kind of chametz is mutter, a certain kind of food you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and everybody listens to the Bez Nagodol and they violate Aver. Then it turns out 6 million people violated, if the Rav of Klal Yisrael violates the Aver, you don't tell that each and every person has to bring a korban chatos. The Bez Nagodol brings a parhal and davar shotzim, and everybody gets a kapar. So the Gemara says, B'hai ro'o, when it comes to a mistake in Pesach at the Bez Nagodol, whom do you consider when you're trying to figure out whether 51% of the Bnei Yisrael violated Avera, 49%? Was it the Roi or the Mir? So Gemara says, B'hairu halocha acharoi v'yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. Only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael count. Because the Pesach says, B'nei Elam Dover me'eni ha-kohol. And ha-kohol only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. How did the Gemara know kohol only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara dug up a Pesach, I think it's a Malachim, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first place on Midrash, throngs of people came from all over. Kohol Goldol, Melebo Chabmos, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, for the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, you see from the Pesach, only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are called Kohol. Kohol Goldol, Melebo Chabmos, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have the Kedushas Yisrael, the Chayiv Mitzvahs, but they're not part of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Bechoris says. The reason why smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael is we usually assume smicha is a private affair. The Rebbe got smicha from his Rebbe, so he has the right to confer smicha to his Talmid. The Rambam understands wrong. The smicha is conferred. The Rebbe is representing all of Klal Yisrael. That's what this Sridi Yesh has an essay about smicha. In the end of one of the volumes, I think the end of the last volume, in the Chulis, so he has an essay about smicha. So he said, the Pasuk says that when Rav Soloveitchik, this part Rav Soloveitchik also said, the Pasuk says when Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to confer smicha to Yeshua, says, "Tzibisa oisa li'ayneihem," you should confer the smicha in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael. Why does he have to confer the smicha in the presence of Klal Yisrael? So the Rav pointed out, Moshe Rabbeinu is not giving a private smicha. He's representing all of Klal Yisrael and is giving the smicha. So the Rambam says, whenever anybody gives smicha, he's representing Klal Yisrael, so he has to be in Eretz Yisrael, to be a member of the Klal Yisrael, to be able to represent them in order to confer the smicha. That's where the Rambam has his famous chiddush, his famous original suggestion. He has it in three different places about the chiddush of smicha. The Rambam thinks, Yeroi Li has a chiddush that if all the Chachm Yisrael gathered together, even if nobody has any smicha, the whole smicha disappeared already, evaporated. No one has smicha at this moment. But if all the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael gather together and they can confer smicha on someone, Klal Yisrael can be mechadish smicha yesh me'ah. Chiddush smicha. So the Rambam thinks that all smicha, even Ish of Moshe Rabbeinu, is also because the one who's conferring the smicha is representing all of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Avnei Nezer, observation to say, oh, but this one he forgot to say that he saw it in Avnei Nezer, but he clearly did see. He wouldn't know the Pirush HaMishnah, he wouldn't know all these things. He didn't sit and read these things. So he would quote also, the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, so usually the Rambam has a paragraph about each mitzvah. When it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, he has a long essay because he's fighting with the Karoim. He's fighting with the Karoim of his time and with the Tzdukim of the Baisheni period. So the Rambam has a longer arichas there, and he writes that the fact that we today calculate when the Moilad is going to be every month, and we determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Not that we decide when Rosh Chodesh is. We follow the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. They're the ones who make it Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean? Nobody has any smicha. The days of the Rambam, there were no Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. Who's in Eretz Yisrael? So the Chasam Sefer is a famous Jew. He writes the 10 farmers, the 10 Jewish farmers. And the Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvahs, and Mitzvahs, that's a Kuf and Gimel. When we learned Sanhedrin, we learned the students of Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibar Shana. So the Rav read, he made us all learn together, the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs and Kufnu Gimel with the long Rambam there. It's a long Rambam. So he spoke about this a lot. So the Rambam says, it's the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael today. What Jewish people? The farmers. There's no Bezmer. Jewish people today, they observe the day as Rosh Chodesh. They bench Rosh Chodesh the Shabbos before. They say Yalav V'yava Yalav Rosh Chodesh. They daven Musaf. They have a Sukkos Rosh Chodesh. Whatever they do, they make it into Rosh Chodesh. Says we live in Chutzlars. We don't have the right to make it into Rosh Chodesh. The making Rosh Chodesh is totally in Klal Yisrael. This was the first Yortzeit Rosh that he delivered after his father passed away. He said, "Am Rosh Chodesh say Baruch Atah Hashem." Mekadesh Yisrael v'Roshei Chodashim. Like on Yom Tov, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. On Shabbos, you don't say Mekadesh, there's a Machloikis in the Gemara, in Arvei Pesachim. So there's one opinion in Amram, saying Mekadesh Yisrael v'HaShabbos. That opinion has obviously been rejected. We don't follow that. We say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Why is there a difference? The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadesh all the Shabboses in Sheish Yismei Beresha, Rav Baruch Lekim and Yom Shabbat. HaKadosh Osa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadesh all the Shabbosim Leolam Voyah. He was Mekadosh all of them directly. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Yisrael, and we in turn are Mekadosh to Rosh HaKadosh. So the Rambam says that the Bezin, you need a Bezin of Smuchim to make Rosh Chodesh and to make Kviyas Haluach of Hebrew Hashanah. So why do you say Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, Mekadosh Yisrael Rosh Chodesh, you say Mekadosh Bezin HaGadol. The Rambam says you need Bezin HaGadol. Rambam disagrees, he thinks any Bezin is good. But the Ram thinks he needs Bez Nagar. So I say Mikadesh Yisrael. So he said, the role of the Bezdin over here is not Beteris Bez Nagar. It's Beteris representatives of Klal Yisrael. He used to explain, gave a lot of shurim on this topic. that the two parshas and chumash regarding Bez Nagana, one is in Bahal Oisra, where it says, Esfilishidim Mish, Ashayadayt, Aim, Zikne Ha'am, Lishaydra, that the Bez Nagana, Lishidim Mish, Azikne Ha'am, Lishaydra, they represent Klal Yisra. Then there's another parsha in Shaiftim, Kipal Mimchadaval Mishpat, Bein Dam Ledam Dira, here is Bisharech, the Bia Machlokes that's ripping apart the community. So the Kamtavay Alisa, Allah can go ask the Bez Nagana, but then they paskin, so the two parshas of Bez Nagol, this he has in the first Yahrzeit Rosh, the two parshas which he wrote himself, he printed in Hapardes that year. So there's one in Bez Nagol, they pass in the Aloch, there's another Bez Nagol, they represent Klal Yisrael. So there are sometimes there are dinim where you need Bez Nagol, not the Torah, the Supreme Court, you need the Torah representing Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam seems to say all of this, that Kiddush HaChodesh is really accomplished by Klal Yisrael. And the Klal Yisrael refers to the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael now. And then the Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvah, said if one, I don't know Arabic, so we all use the Hebrew translation. The Hebrew translation, it says, and if one were to visualize Chas V'Shalom that there are no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, there would be a Shoah, and many Jews would lose their lives, and there wouldn't be any, there would be millions of Jews living in Chutz Lars, but no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Rambam writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu violated his promise. He promised that Klal Yisrael will always survive. Not that there will be Jewish survivors, there will be millions that survive. That's not enough. Klal Yisrael will survive. So Klal Yisrael refers to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rambam writes. So that's why the Rambam says you have to do Kiddush HaChodesh, has to be done in Eretz Yisrael, because the Besnim does Kiddush HaChodesh, does so as representing all of Klal Yisrael. So Bizmana said that there's no Bez Nagol. So this mitzvah goes back to the Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have smicha. Nobody has smicha, Bizmana said. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute Klal Yisrael. So by their benching Rosh Chodesh, by their saying Yalav Yavai, I'm Rosh Chodesh, and they're reciting Musaf, that's what makes the day into Rosh Chodesh. But the Rambam writes, we follow them. So the Rav pointed out, this is straight from the Amin Ezer. The Rav pointed out all of these Rambams together. You see from the Rambam, that sometimes there's a din that you need Bez Nagodol as representing Klal Yisrael. So Bizman said that there's no Bez Nagodol, so the mitzvah is taken back by the Klal Yisrael. The Rambam has the din of Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa says, Ki motzi chol ba'adama. The whole din of Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, it doesn't depend on Eretz Yisrael that has Kedusha Shniyah. The Gemara says, Habe krachim kovshal the mizam and the kovshal the bubble. There were areas in Eretz Yisrael that when this katshu in the days of Yishuv Binun, they were endowed with Kedusha Saaretz. And after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, when Ezra was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael anew, they made a political decision to leave out areas, not to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Rebbe hit the Beit Shan. The Gemara said in the first paragraph of Chulin, Rebbe, for years, there were mafresh chumas and mice in the Beit Shan. They said brachas, and Rebbe realized that it's a mistake. Mokam minicham min hashamayim is gadabah, and he reversed the psak hamakubal. He said, not all of Beit Shan has kedusha. There are areas within Beit Shan that don't have kedusha. That's what the Chazanish wrote like that. That the Gemara didn't mean all of Beit Shan is chutz l'aretz, sections of Beit Shan. After the Chazon Ish wrote it and he passed away, then they did more research in the Golan and they found old shuls from centuries ago, from the days of the Tanoim, where they have maps on the shul, which parts of Beit Shan Valley do have Kedusha, which parts don't have Kedusha. Chazon Ish didn't know that. He guessed on his own like that. So the Gemara says they made a conscious decision, a political decision, not to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael. Because Shemitah was always a problem. That's why there was a Churban Bayis Rishon, because the Jewish people violated the laws of Shemitah. And the Gemara makes a whole calculation. Why 70 years of Golus Bavel corresponds to the 70, if you put together all the Shemitah and all the Yevilas that they violated, it adds up to 70, whole calculation in the Gemara in Erechim. So they didn't want to have again trouble. Shemitah was always a problem. It's a problem, and that was a problem by Bayis Rishon, a problem by Sheni. So they left out a lot of sections. Harbe Krachim Kovsh Olim Mitzayim Olay Kovsh Olay Bavel. So during the Bayis Sheni period, there were areas that had Kedusha Rishona that didn't have Kedusha Shniya. So the mitzvah of Chazon Ish only applied to those areas that have Kedusha. The Rambam says, Egla Rufa depends on the Kedusha Rishona. It doesn't apply in Chutzlot. Kimer tzechol badama. Hashem akadem tzelecha. Egla rufa is not an agricultural mitzvah. It's not from the mitzvahs of Chutzlot. Baruch Hashem, it only depends on Eretz Yisrael. Smicha also, the Gemara says, the Rambam, it's the Rambam's pshat in the Gemara. Pasha pshat yirami la Gemara text. The Gemara said at the beginning of Sanhedrin, the first parrot, there's something about ayoras ha'omnes ala gvulim. The cities on the borders of Eretz Yisrael, something about smicha. So the way we have the Gemara, it says something totally different. But the Rambam understood the Gemara. Maybe had a slightly different gerson. Rambam understood the Gemara. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. But it doesn't depend on Eretz Yisrael that has Kedusha Saaretz, Kedusha Shnia. Whatever once had Kedusha Rishayna, even though now we don't live in that period. We live in the period after the Kedusha Shnia. Whatever once had Kedusha Rishayna is considered Eretz Yisrael. And you can confer Smicha. Why? But the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael only apply in the sections of Eretz Yisrael that have Kedusha. The Yasser Absolution said, Smicha is not from the mitzvah, it's not an agricultural mitzvah. What, the farmers get smicha? If they know how to learn, you give them smicha. Okay, but what does it have to do? It's not mitzvah, it's not. You can only give smicha in Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is the mitzaref of all of Kal Yisrael. The mitzaref, that depends on the borders of Eretz Yisrael, on the violence. It doesn't depend on what areas have Kedusha. What areas have Kedusha, that determines where you're going to observe and so on. Mitzvahs are pleased by the agriculture mitzvahs. These are not agriculture mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam says by Egla Ruf and by Smicha. It depends on Kedusha Rishayna. It doesn't depend on Kedusha Shnei. Because these are dinim that only apply to Egla Ruf, but the Smicha only apply in Eretz Yisrael because they're totally in the Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael only applies to those who are living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam has the din, the Rambam quotes the din of Kibush Rabin. The Gemara has, in the beginning of Gittin and Abches, the Gemara has a Machloike Satanayim, who was going for centuries. In order to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, they needed Kibush. So does it have to be Kibush Rabin? So good, even if it's a Kibush Yochid. So the Gemara says that the Aram Tzova, Dovin HaMelech, was Kibush Surya. It's a story in Tanakh. And he was Kibush for his own purposes. He divided among the members of his family. He didn't do it on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether the Kedusha of Surya was a Kedusha of Darais, a Kedusha of Rabbanim. The accepted opinion is that you need Kibush Rabbim, and Surya was only Kibush Yochas. The Kibush Yochas, Lashme Kibush, it was not the Kaddish. It was not the Kaddish. So what's the definition of a Kibush Rabbim? So the Rambam, in two places, writes two different definitions. So in Hilchas Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes one way. In the beginning of Hilchas Trumas, the first period, he writes differently. One place he writes, Kibush Midas Rov Yisrael, that the whole Jewish nation is involved in there, supporting the cause, the effort of conquering this area. The other place, the Rama doesn't say Midas Rov Yisrael, he says, if it was authorized by the Bez Nagor. But why don't they write the two conditions together? Why does he write one condition, one place, one condition, the other place? That's what Absolutely thought. They're not two conditions, it's the same condition. Kibush Rab means you have, the Kibush was Midas HaTzibur, with the approval of the Tzibur. What do you have to go to? You're going to take a poll. Every time you want to figure out what the Das Rav HaTzibur is going to take a vote to determine. So the Rambam says, oh, yes, the Bez Nagol. That's the Parsha in Baal Oscha. The Bez Nagol is like the American Congress. They represent the people who elected them to office. So the Bez Nagol were not elected by the Tzibur. But they represent Klal Yisrael. So when you want to gauge what is Das Rav HaTzibur, yes, the Bez Nagol. So they're not two different conditions. Yes, and the Bez Nagol is the equivalent of the Midas Rav Yisrael. There's a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah. They have quite a few disputes. So the Ram gives you what he considers are the Taryak Mitzvahs HaTorah. And the Ramban deletes a whole bunch of them and he has to replace them with other mitzvahs because you have the Midrashim say there are 248 mitzvahs Aseh and 365 mitzvahs Loses. So at the end of the listing of the mitzvahs says, and the Ramam, the Ramban has a whole list of Hashmatas, which mitzvahs the Ramam forgot, as well as the end of the section on the Loises, so the Ramban deletes around 20 lavin, and the Ramban has to replace it with another 20 lav. So one of the most famous one that everybody talks about this season of the year, Yom HaTzmod, is the Ramban says that the Ramban forgot to count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban has a long essay there Amman says we have an obligation in all the generations if we have the ability to put together an army and to go conquer Eretz Yisrael. Lo nazena b'yadzu l'aseinu, we shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael in the hands of others. The Jewish people have to establish a Jewish government. Not enough just to live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to conquer Eretz Yisrael and seize hold of it. So Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave the drushes, this one is printed, I gave the Russians, so he said there are some shadows at the Rabbanim Pasuk, and then sometimes there are historical, big, famous issues that Hashgachah min Hashamayim Pasuk Zay. So his lashon was that this was always get Pasuk by the Hashgachah, that the Ramban is right, that there's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That's why min Hashamayim, there was a dispute, the Avuda and others, the whole machlokes, whether you should established government in Eretz Yisrael, the Hungarian Rabbanim were all, the Munkacher was the man, he terrorized all the Hungarian Rabbanim. They were all afraid he would get up from the pulpit, he would curse them in public. He would curse the Zionists, then he would curse the Mizrahi, they're worse than the Zionists, because they made a mitzvah, this is the biggest avera from all the 6 and 3, the biggest avera is Zionism. And he would curse the Mizrahi, then they made it into a mitzvah, then he would curse the Aguda, because they're worse than the Mizrahi. They claim that they're anti-Zionist, and they're not anti-Zionist. They're also Zionist. I remember I used to be friendly with a Balabos who came from Munkach, when he was just much older than me. He passed away a long time ago. He used to come visit his children in Washington Heights. So he would shake when he would just remember the cursing of the Munkach. So the Minkach Rebbe was so wild about this anti-Zionistic, that all the Hungarian Rabbanim were afraid to support the Zionist cause. So there was a machlokes whether they should establish a Medina or not. Is it proper? Is it permissible? Is it illicit to establish a Medina? So Absolutely, exhaustion was the Hashgacha min Hashemayim will get Pascha like the Ramban. Truth of the matter is, this is my opinion, truth of the matter is, there never was a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam also agrees that there's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government. That's the Rambam, the first line in Hilchas Malachim. The Rambam quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Chafim and Beis. Gimel mitzvahs nitzav Yisrael b'chnisasim la'aretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill 3 mitzvahs in a specific order. First is la'amalah ha'melech, to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. Then every government has to have a standing army. Then la'achmizara shal amalek, you have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and you have to wipe out amalek, and after you wipe out amalek, and it'll be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, then livnas land beis abchir. I remember right after Mechemes Sheshet Hayamim, it was during Sfira time. So many Rabbanim were saying you have an obligation to make a Mizbech and make a Mizbech and make a Beis HaMikdash. Right away you have Chiyuv. So they said, what are you talking about? The Gemara says the Pesukim, the Gemara quotes the Pesukim. Ke'aniach Hashem lakech lachamu kol eivech misavet ba'aretz. When it's peaceful in Eretz, it's not yet peaceful. They were talking right after Mechemes Sheshet Hayamim about giving everything back to the Arabs. It wasn't peaceful. They were petrified. They were still afraid of the Arabs. Till they realized the Arabs are petrified from us. The Arabs are petrified from the Jewish army at that time. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. The Hashgacha shows that we follow the Rambans. Not this was never machlokes the Ramban and the Rambam. Machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam is whether to live in Eretz Yisrael should be counted. To live in Eretz Yisrael. But to establish a Jewish government, the Rambam also counts that as a mitzvah. Why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? That's a good question. So Leitchik, I don't remember him talking about that topic, but he felt, Moshe Feinstein has the same in his far. He felt that to live in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumis. Sometimes there's a mitzvah kiyumis, you have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. A mitzvah to put on tzitzit if you're wearing a 4-corner garment. You have a mitzvah to do. You have a mitzvah to listen to Kiyah Shofar, to eat matzah on Pesach. Now you have a mitzvah kiyumis. That's the question. Is there such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis? So the Netziv, in his commentary on Chumash, at the end of the Chukosai, Rashi quotes a pasuk. Rashi comments on the pasuk. Chomaisa bakavaton kol shiabatachas sashoet ha'asili yir kodesh l'ashem maisa behemah. Maisa behemah is a korban. So who eats the Maisa Behema? Who's supposed to eat? So Rashi says, on Chumash, and Rashi says on the Gemara, in Perek Zalmakama, it never says anywhere that it's from the Matan's Kuhuna. So it's self-understood that the farmer, who is if he has a farm and he had 10 or more animals were born in the course of the year, you have to figure out when is Rosh Hashanah, the Maisa Behema, were the 10 animals born in the same year. Tamaisa Behema. So then you put them all in a corral, you have to go out one by one, and the Hasili Yeh Kodesh Lashem. So the Rashi writes, the farmer eats it, the farmer brings it to Yerushalayim, he makrevit in the base of Kohanim, I makrevit, then the farmer eats it. And this Rashi is in disagreement with many Gaonim, the Rashban Shabbos quotes. There were different opinions in the Gaonim that Maisa Behema is from the Choptalot Matnas Kohanim. The Gemara says in a few places, mainly in the Pchun, there were 24 Matan Skun. The problem is there are more than 24 Matan Skun. So there are different calculations in the Rishonim, which ones you're combining to make a shrink. There are more than 24. How do you combine several together that to shrink it to make it only 24? So that dispute, how do you calculate to make 24? So the Goyim have a position, many Goyim have a position. Maisa Behema is one of the Choftalot Matan Skun. And Rashi said that it's wrong. And Rashi says, because it doesn't say anywhere. So the Netziv, you look in his commentary on Chumash, the end of the Chukosai, what's one of the last psukim of Chumash Vayik? So the Netziv says, what do you mean it doesn't say anywhere? It's a beferish posuk in Divrei Hayamim. It says, when they came back to Bayisheni in Eretz Yisrael, the farmers brought the Maisa Behem and they gave it to the Kohanim. So it says, beferish they gave it to the Kohanim. How does Rashi say? It doesn't say anywhere, it's a posuk in Divrei Hayamim. So the Netziv writes, when he came to Balozhin, I think the story goes, he was before Bar Mitzvah. He didn't know Rav Chaim Balozhin. He didn't know the Vilna Gaon. He didn't know Rav Chaim Balozhin. Rav Chaim Balozhin wasn't there when he came. He was the Rosh Hashiva Balozhin the last 39 years. That's a long time. He married into the family. He married the daughter of Rav Bitzel of Balozhin, who was the son of Rav Chaim Balozhin. He didn't know Rav Bitzel of Balozhin wasn't alive. I don't think. No. He married the daughter of Rav Bitzel, but he didn't know Rav Chaim Balozhin. So he writes, when he came to Balozhin, I think he writes that Nachmanz David was still alive, and Nachmanz David said he heard from Rav Chaim Balozhin, that Rav Chaim Balozhin heard from the Vilna Gaon, that eating matzah, now it's very famous, eating matzah, the other days of Pesach, even though he's not obligated to the mitzvah to eat matzah, is only Laila HaRishon, but the rest of the days is Rishus. What do you mean Rishus? So we usually assume it's optional. If you're hungry, and you're not going to eat any, can't eat chametz, I can eat matzah, so you're going to be hungry. So eat matzah. It's optional. It's not a mitzvah at all. So the Vilna Gaon interpreted, no, it's a mitzvah, so Rishus. So there are Talmid HaChacham now in Eretz Yisrael. They denied the Vilna Gaon ever said it. It doesn't make any sense. The word mitzvah means mitzvah. You're obligated to. No such thing as a mitzvah, so Rishus. But then it says, he heard, b'shem the Vilna Gaon. That it's authentic. There is such a thing. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk a lot about this. The Rav had a lot of chidushim in the area of mitzvahs or shus. A lot of things. You're not mechuyif to do it, but if you do it, you have it's a kiyuma mitzvah. It's a mitzvah or shus. So the Netziv thinks that pasuk that says in Dibra Yom that the farmers gave the Maisa Behema to the Kohanim, he thinks that it's a mitzvah or shus. You're not mechuyif to, but it's a mitzvah or shus. And then he expands it to more cases. He has other chidushim. Other things are also mitzvahs or shus. That's what Rav Soloveitchik's opinion was. That the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, he thought it's only a mitzvah socius. He didn't think that it's a mitzvah chayuvis. All the drushes that he gave for the Mizrahi about living in Eretz Yisrael, but in the yeshiva he explained that he didn't hear. Moshe has the same. He thinks that the mitzvah to live in, it's taka mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he thought it's a mitzvah chayuvis. It's a mitzvah socius. It's not a mitzvah chayuvis. What motivated them to say like that? Because you make cheshbonos throughout all the generation. This also, the Avdei Nezer has this. They asked the shayla of the Avdei Nezer, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And if there is, Avdei Nezer was a chassidish yered. And if there is, how come the gedolei hachassidus didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? That's the shayla. So he explains there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh. But if they live in Eretz Yisrael, they won't be able to accomplish too much for the country. There wasn't a Jewish government. It was controlled by a Goyish people at that time. So the mitzvah of Bishlein Musa is only do Yishuv Haaretz. Yishuv Haaretz means you pave highways, you build buildings, you develop agriculture, you have an army, you accomplish something. Just to live in Eretz Yisrael, he says, the Rebbe will live in Eretz Yisrael, the Hasidim can't all go to Eretz Yisrael, they'll live in Europe, and they'll be sending money to the Rebbe who lives in Eretz Yisrael. So that'll only be an incomplete Kiyama mitzvah. Other Achareinim say that the mitzvah of Shmei Musa is only If you have a Jewish government controlling Eretz, then living in Eretz will be a mitzvah b'shleim busa. But if it's not under Jewish control, it's not Varashtim, then Yishavtim is only an incomplete mitzvah. So they said, because the mitzvah is not b'shleim busa b'zman hazeh, so that's why, Davnei said, that's why the Chassidus Rebbe thought that they'll accomplish more if they stay in Chutz Lartz. Our Rav Soloveitchik always used to say that whoever is in Rabbonis or Chinuch in Chutz Lartz is not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael today. When his children moved to Eretz Yisrael, he was very upset. He held that they weren't allowed to go. And he confronted them. Why did they go to Eretz Yisrael? So he said, we listened to you all your drushes. So he said, no, he didn't mean it. That he always said. He always used to say in public at the Mizrahi Gemara. He always said, whoever is Oisik and Rabbanus and Rechinuch is not allowed to go. I remember the Loshon that he said. He said that the general in the army, if there's an issue, the general is not to leave the front until all the soldiers are accounted for. And the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave the ship if there's a problem until all the passengers are taken care of. So he said, those are in Rabbanus HaChinuch are fighting assimilation and fighting intermarriage and fighting reform, and you're not allowed to leave. So I used to always think in my heart, what kind of general, captain of the army, what kind of captain of the ship, general, where does he get these mishonim from? So I thought it was unusual. And then years later I saw that Rav Kook had a whole correspondence with Rav Chaim Moiser. He wanted Rav Chaim Moiser to move to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim Moiser agreed. He was going to leave Vilna, move to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook already had an apartment for him, he had a salary, and he had a title. Rav Kook was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, and he was going to give the title Rosh Kol B'nei Hagoyla. Rav Chaim Moiser is going to be the chief rabbi of the rest of the world. Kook was going to be the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. So they were corresponding, and here Rav Chaim Moiser was going to go. Then the last minute, Rav Chaim Moiser backed out, and he quotes this tshuva by Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik was the Talmud of Chassam Sofer. That's after the Chassam Sofer passed away. The reform movement became stronger than it was during the lifetime, became worse than during the lifetime of the Chassam Sofer. So then those who were fighting the battle against the reform were the Chassam Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer, took over the Rabbanus in Pressburg, and the Maharam Shik, who was the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So Maharam Shik had a Talmud who had a Rabbanus in Hungary, and he was fighting the reform. He was very successful, but he didn't enjoy it. So he was offered a position of Rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael. In the second half of the 1800s, Zofar Arabonis are going to pay him a salary just to sit and learn and give shiurim with the Paschal Shilas. That's all. So he packed up his bags and he was ready to leave. So he sent a letter to his Rebbe. He wants a bracha on the move. I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael, so the Maharam Shik has in his tshuva. He writes, I can't give you a bracha, you're doing shaloi kedin. And he writes the captain and the ship and the general in the army. And he says, when you learned in my yeshiva, the Chassam Sofer insisted all of his Talmidim, when they take a Rabbanus, have to found a yeshiva. Each one found a yeshiva. Some had big yeshiva, small yeshiva. Each one had a yeshiva. So the Maharam Shik had a yeshiva. So he said, when you were learning in my yeshiva, he writes to this Talmid who was moving there. So many of your classmates went into business. They didn't go into the Rabbanus. They all learned, but they went into business. You volunteered to become a rabbi, so you volunteered to fight reform. That's what the rabbi meant at that time, fight reform. You're successful. So he says, you're not allowed to leave because the war is still, the battle is still going on. You're not allowed to leave. And he quotes the Ridwan Sukkah, Oesed b'mitzvah, potter b'namitzvah, not only you're potter from the second mitzvah, you're not allowed to be mafsik from the first mitzvah to do the second mitzvah because you're not mechuyev in the second mitzvah. It's a dvar harshus, you're not mechuyev. So you're not allowed to be mafsik. It says you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to speak about also. I don't think he ever saw the Maharam Shik. It could be they heard from Rav Chaim Moiser. Because when Rav Soloveitchik was in the university in Berlin, after a year or two, his parents moved to America. So if he wanted to talk online with his father, it cost $100 a minute to talk on the telephone. At that time, telephone. You called long distance, you would speak for half a minute. It cost a fortune to make a long distance phone call. So when he wanted to talk and learning, he would take a train and go to Vilna and talk to Rav Chaim Moiser and learning. He said whenever Rav Baruch Be'er would know that he was coming to talk to Rav Chaim Moiser, Rav Baruch Be'er would come to Vilna and talk to the Rebbe Zeinikov, to talk to Rav Chaim Zeinikov, talk and learning. He says Rav Baruch Be'er was unbelievable. He spoke and learning with him. He knew every Tosfos he'd given by heart, word for word. He knew everything by heart. So Rav Soloveitchik also, he said when he was in the university, he was learning a lot at the same time. He was working hard on different things. He came up with a big chiddush. He went to talk to Reb Chaim Oizer, went by train to go to Vilna, from Berlin to Vilna. He went to talk to Reb Chaim. He said it was the most exasperating experience he had. He would tell Reb Chaim Oizer, his shtick of Reb Chaim Oizer, and say, yeah, he would take a ladder, climb up on top of the book, and, yeah, it says it in this and this safe. Every time he wrote, had a big chiddush that he worked on a whole week, it took him a whole week to come. Yeah, everything. He pulled out another side. Yeah, everything is printed away. Chaim Oizer knew everything. He can talk. Chaim Oizer can talk and learn with the Galatian Tamachach, with the Hungarian Tamachach, with the Litvish, Psakalach. Each one, he would talk the way that he spoke. He would talk in their language, that they would understand. So he knew how to talk in them. So that's what. So it could be. I remember he said that he spoke to Rabbi Moshe about the issue of Hakamas HaMedina. Probably their guru was talking about this at Knessius in Europe. They were talking about it. He said Rabbi Moshe was so, wasn't only a goyin in Psak and a goyin in Lomdas. He was a goyin in politics. He understood politics very well. No one could have imagined that there's going to be Hakamas HaMedina. Rabbi Moshe said, Aloshin, when hair will grow on this side of my head, that's when there'll be a Medina. It was the furthest thing from anybody's mind that the world will allow the Jewish people to make a Medina. It was the biggest shock. The Rav said so much about Eretz Yisrael. He used to say when he was a little baby in the crib, and his father used to give the Rosh Yeshiva and Slabotka sent a group of boys to learn Baruch Moshe Soloveitchik. So he used to give shir in the room right next to Rav Soloveitchik's bedroom, where he was sleeping in a crib, and then later in the bed. So he said his father would always talk about Kedushas Haaretz. He says from the time he was a little child, a little baby, he remembers all the topics of Inyani Eretz Yisrael, but they're different Inyani. Kedushas Haaretz, the fact that you have to have a government, Al Pidin, maybe I'll close with this, Al Pidin, Yerushalayim has different aspects to it. Al Pidin Yerushalayim is part of the Mokam HaMikdosh. You eat the Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim, you eat the Karm Pesach, all the Kachim Kalim. And Yerushalayim Al Pidin is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. That's what we say in the davening on Friday night. Mikdash Melech, Yer Melucha, Kuhu Misim B'Terech HaFecha. It's the Mikdash Melech, all of Yerushalayim has Kedusha, like a lower level of Kedusha is based on Mikdash, but it's Yer Melucha. The Gemara has a din, the three dinim of Kriya. When you see the Mokam HaMikdash B'Churbanim, when you see Yerushalayim B'Churbanim, when you see Ar Yehuda B'Churbanim. And each one is, the most chamer is Mokam HaMikdash, and less chamer is Yerushalayim, and less chamer is Ar Yehuda B'Churbanim, Afkamina L'dina, and Shulchan Aruch has dinim, based on Gemaras. So the Shaila is Yerushalayim B'Churbanim, B'Toras, what the Yerib Kriya, B'Toras, Ir HaBira, because Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, it no longer is, but today it is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Even the American Congress recognizes it. That the Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So the Yerib Kriya, because over the Churban HaMedina, because it's no longer the capital, so then today you don't have Kriya. Or do you say, no, ripping Kriya on Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. It calls man, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is Baruch HaBonah. So the Mishnah Brura, Paschal is La'alocha, the Kriya on Yerushalayim is B'Toras Ir HaBira. And the days of the Mishnah Berurah was not the Ir HaBira. There was no Jewish government over 100 years ago, in the early 1900s. And Rav Soloveitchik thought like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that Kol Zman was not Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim is called B'chor Bonan. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook had his opinion. Morgan Avraham quotes the Poskim, Or Yehuda B'chor Bonan, how do you determine whether Or Yehuda B'Churbanim or B'Binyanim? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Achrayim who say, if it's Tachas Shiltan Yisrael, it's under Jewish control, if you have a Jewish government controlling it, then it's B'Binyanim. And if you're under Goyish control, then it's B'Churbanim. So I remember when they gave away, I think, Beis Lechem, when the Israeli government gave away Bethlehem to the Arab, to the Palestinian Authority. So the Sephardic chief rabbi at that time was Ramat Chaliyahu. So he said, now when you go to Beis Lechem, you have to rip Kriya. So they attacked him in the newspapers. The chief rabbi is not allowed to take a position on political issues. They thought he was saying you have to rip Kriya over the government's decision. No! Under Goyish control, it's B'chor Bonim. Under Jewish control, it's called B'Binyanim. If you give it over to the Palestinian Authority, then it's called B'chor Bonim. That's for Yehuda Kook had a Chiddush. The Rav Soloveitchik thought it didn't make any sense. But since, after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, Israeli army has control of the Makam HaBayit, Makam HaMikdash. So the Makam HaMikdash is called Binyan, because it's under Jewish control. Rav Soloveitchik said, it's a joke. What do you mean? Or Yehuda b'chorbanim depends whether under Jewish control. Beis HaMikdash b'chorbanim means, is there a Beis HaMikdash? Not a Beis HaMikdash. There's a mosque there. There's no Beis HaMikdash. That's b'chorbanim. So when I printed this, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, I didn't want to insult Rav Tzvi Yehuda. So I just thought, I misrepresented. So I wrote, one of the young rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. So the people from America said, I'll tell me, what do you mean one of the young rabbis? Rav Tzvi Yehuda said that. I said, I didn't want to attack Rav Tzvi Yehuda. So I wanted to camouflage it. So I said, one of the young Mizrahi rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. So they just thought that it wasn't correct. Anyway, these in Yonim, I was going to end, I have to say another thing. By the Chassidim, if you get a Chassidish Chassidim, a Nusach, what we call a Nusach Sfar, it's not from the Edot HaMizrach. So on Friday night, they have in the Siddur, the Mishnais from Kalim, Esi Kedusha Sen, the 10 levels of Kedusha. So it says, Eretzol Mekudesh is Mikol HaRotzeis, Eretzol has Kedusha as opposed to Chutzlots. Ayorz HaMekal Feschaima have a higher level of Kedusha. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha. Harabais has a higher level of Kedusha, and the Rabbanu, you divide the Harabais into three different areas, and then the Azar has more Kedusha, and so on, all the 10 levels. So the Mishnah has, Eretzol Mekudesh is Mikol HaRotz, no such thing as Kedusha, abstract Kedusha. Kedusha, that's what they call them out of him. Kedusha artilois, abstract Kedusha. Kedusha means that they're kinshana b'mitzvahis of tzivan. Kedusha means that they're mitzvahs. I'm a choyev in mitzvahs because I have Kedusha. The Mokam HaMidrash has Kedusha. There are certain mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled over there. So the Mishnah spells out in each one of Esa Kedusha, 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. What's the nafkamina ledina? So the Mishnah has a quirk of the state. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. How do you know? The oimer that you bring on the first day Chanamay Pesach at Korban Minchas Oimer from the barley and the shtei lechem you bring on Shavuos has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael from all the dinim. Why don't the Eretz on the Gedez in Colorado? You have Chumas and Maasi Leket Shmikhu Leket Shikhu and Peyer Shmita V'yodol. There's so many mitzvah to you bar. Why did I mention these two awkward dinim that most yes, can you bach in Yishiv? You never heard of this Mishnah. Very strange. And then there are two girsas in the Mishnah where it mentions Dikurim or not. So Rab Soloveitchik, so that's Rab Menachem Zembe, was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he was a Goyin HaGoyinim. He had a hardware store. He worked for a living. He had a whole chevra of Polish Goyinim Adirim. They knew all the Yerushalmi. They knew all the Tasef. They knew everything. They knew all the Ragat Shavas. They knew everything. And they were businessmen, so they used to correspond with each other. So one of them, Yoskevich, put out the Sifrei Zuta. The Sifrei that we have is the basement Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says. Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon, the Alibi the Rabbi Akiva. And the Sifrei Zuta is the basement Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Shmuel. It's different. Every so often the Rambam quotes Dina from the Sifrei Zuta. The Rabbi asks, where did he get this from? So they point out it's often the Sifrei Zuta. So the Sifrei Zuta has the same thing that the Mishnah has, Esa Kedusha, the 10 levels of Kedusha, with slight shinui. So Rabbi Nachum Zender's friend, Yoskevich, put out his Sefer Yisuta with his footnotes. He was a businessman. Unbelievable. He knew Kolator Kula. Yes, fantastic. So he sent a copy of the Sefer before it was printed, where Rabbi Nachum Zender wanted to add some comments. So he sent them a little kuntris, 100 pages long. A kuntres and the shinui nischois between the Mishnah as it appears in Kalim, first parak in Kalim, and the Sifrei Zuta, the same Esa 10 level, but with slight shinui. So the first piece has the same as what Rav Soloveitchik, I don't think Rav Soloveitchik saw it over there, would have said to us, I don't think he knew anything from Rachm Zalman, but he said the same shot. The Mishnah is listing off Esa Kedushas, 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas HaAretz. That we know. That's for like a Chik Chatei Chumas and Maaseh Shemitah V'Yodol. That we know. Everybody knows that. The Mishnah means to say there are 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael, the Iker of Kedushas HaMikdash is the Ben Abadim and the Kedusha HaKadoshim. Then as you go further out, the Kedusha spreads out. So the Kedusha gets weaker, 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 until it encompasses all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Where do you see, where is there a din that indicates that if all Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash, that the Omer Shteilachem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not going to let you grow anything in the Beis HaMikdash. They want to let you plant. Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash, but the Mishnah is not going to say that Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash for Harai, that you have Trum, Samais, and Shmita, the other lectures. That's not because it's Kedushas HaMikdash, it's because it's Kedushas HaAretz. So the Mishnah had to pick on these few dinim. So those are the two girsas, whether Bikurim belongs or not. The two girsas, the Vilna Gaon crosses it out, and others have it in the Mishnah. It's 2 days in Tosfos and Bava Basra, whether Bikurim is considered a mitzvah, tli ba'aretz. Oh no, it's a din, a quirk of a din that only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply to Chutz La'aretz. Because all of Eretz Yisrael has a level of Kedushas HaMikdash. These are some of the many ideas halacha in halacha. Rav Soloveitchik developed about the Yoni Eretz Yisrael had fantastic, as you said before. Rav Soloveitchik was super, super. And Daimalah, he was really unbelievable. Okay, Yehi Zichro Baruch.
Again, thank you very much for coming. I remind everyone that this coming Thursday evening, next week, it is going to be Rav David Miller and Robert Adler. And I also want to remind everyone that next Thursday night we'll have